parts to write.
You do that. But in the meantime, this is the Data Centric Podcast. Hi, Matt Kimball.
Hey, Steve McDowell. How are you?
I'm doing good. We're going to talk about all things data center. Matt, do you have a data center?
I do. It's in my closet. It consists of a router. And I think I have some old laptops in there as well that are waiting to be thrown out. How about you?
I have a small data center in the barn with a quarter rack. The highlight of the collection is a Network Engines Roadrunner with a nice purple bezel.
Oh, man.
I can't plug it in because a little smoke comes out the back. But man,
they had the sexiest bezels, I thought.
Network Engines, it's 20 years ago almost that those bezels came out.
Actually, more than, yeah, right, yeah. Just about 20 years ago, you're right. Wow.
Years ago. So I can't use the data center in the barn. I'm in the midst right now of wiring up internet out there. It's too far away for Wi-Fi, right? So I've been crimping internet cables, and I put my tester on, and the latest one is completely backwards.
So how do you get to your barn? Do you take a tractor from the house to the barn?
All right, so what's new in the world of server? IDC put out numbers last week. IDC, so to distinguish the kind of technology analysts we are versus IDC, IDC counts things, right? They're quantitative analysts, and we're more qualitative, would you say?
Are we? Okay.
We think about things and say things that don't have a lot of mathematical proofs behind them, whereas IDC does.
So that's do we? Is that what we do? I like that.
I think that's what we do. So IDC, right, they're who the industry looks toward to figure out who sold what over any given period of time. And last week, they came out both with server market numbers and worldwide storage market numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see anything that surprised you in the server numbers? I don't have them in front of me, so I'm just going to go based on...
Yeah. So, you know, and thank you for explaining to our listeners who IDC is. I'm sure nobody's heard of them.
Thanks. But
their quarterly tracker breaks out by revenue and shipment, and a couple of interesting things in both of those. So when you look at the overall revenue growth, market's up 12.5-13%, which is good. Dell and HPE are tied at 18.7 and 17.8% respectively, which is interesting. Dell's has kind of moved into first, but anything within a percentage point, IDC declares a tie. What's more interesting is that Inspur and Lenovo. Inspur is a Chinese manufacturer, and everyone knows Lenovo are both tied for fourth.
So you say Chinese manufacturer? I'm going to interrupt you here because I don't know who Inspur is. So do they sell outside the Chinese market?
Yeah, they do, but their business is largely derived from the Chinese market. So they sell into Greater China, into APAC, and they you can buy Inspur servers anywhere, but that's where their big market is.
So when I think about Inspur, I should think about them in kind of the same context as Huawei.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah. Right.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Keep going.
No, that's good. That's good context. Thank you. But they're just growing like gangbusters. So, Inspur and Lenovo, I said, are tied for fourth. But what's interesting to me is that while Dell and HPE grew at about 20 and 10% respectively year over year, Inspur and Lenovo, 71% and 34% growth year over year. So these guys are seeing huge markets. And so what that tells me maybe, and we'll get into shipments in a second, but what that tells me maybe is that you're seeing maybe a little bit more of a slowdown in some of the established markets like North America and Western Europe. And in fact, IDC thinks hyperscale shipments are down, but maybe we're seeing a slowdown in the more established markets, and some of these emerging markets seem to be taking off. Which is where Inspur plays heavily, Huawei plays heavily, and Lenovo, through some of their product lines like ODM Plus, play significantly. So it's kind of interesting to see this level of growth coming from, or this kind of growth coming from these two companies, and from a shipments perspective. the market was only up 5%. I say only, but it was only up 5% year over year. And what's really, really interesting about that is when you look at Dell and you look at HPE, they were both negative in growth. Dell was down about 0.3%, so flat, right? And HPE was down about 2%, which is, you know, we could say is flat as well.
So you said the hyperscale market is down in IDC's perspective, right? So mm-hmm. when I'm looking at the IDC ranking now, or just their press release, right? I'm not looking at their paid research. Mm-hmm. And they list kind of the top five server vendors, Dell, mm-hmm. HPE, IBM, Inspur, and Lenovo. Mm-hmm. I don't see Huawei. Oh, hang on. I'm sorry. Huawei, Lenovo, and then ODM Direct and rest of market. So where does the hyperscale bury in there? Because I know that Dell and HPE sell to the hyperscalers.
So IDC doesn't give specific breakouts for, you know, how much unit ships into hyperscale versus other. But if you look through their some of their statements around the numbers, it talks about hyperscale being down. But it talks about enterprise shipments being up. And in particular, it talks about what kind of the higher value and more highly configured, more richly configured servers that are shipping out of HPE, Dell, et cetera, et cetera. But one point on that is not all of the OEMs do ship into hyperscale anymore. HPE pulled out over a year ago, pulled out of that hyperscale market, claiming that the margins were too low, and they are claiming the margins were too low, and it really wasn't a profitable business to chase after.
And Dell has an ODM business, right? Do they sell into the hyperscale market? Is that how that works?
They do. Yeah, they have an ODM-like, and Lenovo does too. Lenovo calls it ODM Plus, and it's kind of the benefits of ODM, right? Kind of white box-like, but the quality from a supply chain and manufacturing perspective that Lenovo brings to the equation, and Dell does something similar. So it's these lines that sell into the hyperscalers.
So okay, thank you. And then going back to I'd asked a question earlier about who is Inspur, and while you were talking, I pulled up the IDC server press release, right, where the numbers are coming from. Mm-hmm. And they have a note there that says, let me ask it this way. Is Inspur now manufacturing IBM's power products? Because IDC says they're now counting a lot of IBM's power shipments from Inspur, which might explain why IBM was down 27% in server.
So
Inspur is up 70% on worldwide revenue.
Inspur has a server based on power. That's what IDC is referencing.
Got it.
The numbers aren't huge, but they do have a power based, and I'm not sure how many servers, but at least one server that they sell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So then, in worldwide server unit shipments, IBM is not in the top five right now. Is it? Does that say something about power, or is that just a market that's not as big as x86?
Yeah. Well, you know this as well as I do, right? I mean, the power market's not nearly as big as x86. I think IBM is, they have a market they're chasing after, and customers are chasing after with power, but certainly not hitting the volumes that the x86 market is.
But it is lucrative because now that I've scrolled on the IDC thing, if you look at unit shipments, they don't crack the top five, but if you look at revenue, they're right there at number three, right?
They're number three, right?
They're doing $2 billion a quarter on power, which says, right, these are not cheap boxes. And I'm sure the Z system stuff factors into that as well.
Isn't that incredible? Yeah, well, you know, because Z system is based on power as well, right? So everything kind of gets rolled up into that number. But it does tell you, right, you're absolutely right. I mean, they're not in the top five for units. But boy, they sit pretty at number three in terms of revenue, which tells you they must be doing pretty good on margins, right?
Yeah. So we've been talking now 10 minutes about IDC server numbers. Why does an IT guy care about that?
Let me tell you,
is this just inside baseball for the people that track the market?
Well, two things. But before we go to that, you know, I want to hit on something, and we can come back to it a little bit later as well. But, you know, don't forget Huawei and all of this as well. For all of the, negative news that we hear about Huawei here in the States, and, you know, all of the political wrangling, arrests that get made in Canada, and, you know, the proclamations that get made in Congress about how it's, you know, these systems aren't secure, or, you know, perhaps even have some, you know, kind of malicious hardware or software in there to help kind of send information or help spy on us. Huawei sitting at number five in a unit shipment perspective, from a unit shipment perspective. And that's a big deal. And by the way, they grew 27% year over year. So, you know, while the market saw 5% growth, and really, if you take away the Inspur, Lenovo, and Huawei, you'd see negative growth. Huawei is greatly outgrowing the market. So, you know, for all the negative stuff around them, their business is still pretty healthy.
And, you know, we see the same thing in the server business. So the IDC server numbers, break it out into external storage boxes and then just total bytes shipped, right? It's persistent storage. Mm-hmm. And on the second one, that includes, right, kind of server-based storage. And Huawei outgrows the market. They shipped, that market grew at 7.5% in fourth quarter. And Huawei shipped almost 13% into that market, or showed growth, wow. I'm sorry, of 13%.
Yeah.
But more incredibly, right, I think the big story of net last year and this year, both kind of from the server data center perspective, is Lenovo.
Yeah.
I forget what you said Lenovo was up in server, but if you look at total worldwide storage shipped in a market that grew 7.5%, Lenovo was up 63.9, so almost 64% growth.
Yeah.
The next one down is Dell at 14%. Now, you know, Lenovo has a lot more headroom than Dell, right? That's the caveat. But if you look at just from a kind of traction perspective,
it's the same thing in data in server land as well. You know, revenue growth was up 12.5%. Lenovo's up about 34%. You know, unit shipment, well, 5%, they kind of grew with the market, but still outgrew what the bigger OEMs were doing. So, you know, and it's, to me, I know we talked about this on the last podcast as well, but to me, it's a real testament to what the team is doing over there. Kirk Skaugen and the team are doing over there with regards to their go-to-market strategy and how they're kind of driving. Number one, they're driving higher value systems, obviously, but they're also attacking the lower end of the market quite successfully, which is contributing to some of the bottom line revenue growth. So good for them. Really, really nice to see. And it'll be interesting to see how this plays out over the next year or so as well.
Absolutely. And then, you know, I'm excited in not a couple of weeks, but in early May or mid-May, Lenovo has their big annual conference, which we're both invited to this year. Down in, I'm not happy about going to Orlando for it, right? Just like flying on a school bus. But I'm interested to see the turnout and the energy for Lenovo's customers, right? They're getting a lot of growth, and I'm anxious to see and kind of mingle with the IT crowds, the IT users, right, and get their fresh perspective. That's always the best part of these conferences for me.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, so you were asking earlier, though, you know, what does this mean to IT, or is this just more inside baseball? I think there's a little bit of both in there. You know, the slowdown, it's hard to say, you know, what is this, the slowdown in growth attributed to? Number one, the market's been on fire for the last few years, right? So, you know, when we come back to earth, does that really signify that, you know, the market is starting to stall? Maybe. Maybe it's just kind of normalizing. But, you know, there are a couple of things going on, right? So both AMD and Intel, you know, are supposed to be shipping new parts this year. Maybe the market's starting to slow down in anticipation of those launches.
Yeah, the new Canyon Lake Xeons come out this month or next month, right? So it's going to drive maybe a little bit of business in second quarter.
Yeah. And then, you know, Rome, I don't know when, or Epic 2 Rome, I'm not sure what they're calling it. I'm not sure when the next generation of Epic is launching. I would guess it'll be somewhere around mid-year. And I thought there were rumors around Intel's 10 nanometer part coming out at, toward the end of the year. So, you know, there's all this going on that could play some part in kind of the slowdown. But it looks to me like the biggest impact on the slowdown in growth has to do with hyperscale. And maybe hyperscale is just kind of getting to a let's consume what we have before we go on our next buying spree, right? But a lot of this is just, I think it's fascinating. I think to me, a lot of this is inside baseball. It's fun to talk about.
It is, but right. And then also for the IT buyer, though, it might show them who has some momentum and might have something that's worth looking at that maybe they didn't consider before.
Yeah.
Like if I'm not in the United States and I want to look at servers, Huawei is not a terrible option. And I know that because of the number of people that are buying Huawei, right? Not because I have any hands-on experience. So it might be worth, looking at
them. Yeah, it also tells me that, people aren't buying general purpose compute boxes, right? I mean, the fact that revenue growth is outpacing unit shipment growth, the fact that, the average ASP is up considerably, or average sales price is up considerably, tells me that even in the enterprise, the customers are buying, IT buyers are looking at deploying workloads that require more richly configured servers, right? So maybe it's people are finally undertaking those AI projects, AI ML projects, or some other analytics project that requires GPUs and other accelerators to be populated inside the server.
And I think you see this in the numbers, right? Because looking at the IBM or the IDC charts right now, revenue for the quarter is up 12.5%, while unit volumes are only up 5%, right? So revenue is outpacing unit growth by 2x. Yeah. That says, right, it's the average ASP of a server sale now is, it's going up.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. That tells me that while customers are buying a few more servers, they're willing to pay a lot more for those servers, which tells us that, those projects that kind of drive, and everyone hates this term, but that drive digital transformation, better outcomes faster. People are investing in those considerably now, it looks like.
And we're seeing the same thing, and we've been talking for 15 minutes about server, but we're seeing the same thing in the storage market where IDC released numbers. Whose growth, maybe not surprisingly, are ranking largely mirror that of the server business, with a few exceptions, because there are still some pure play storage guys out there. But before I talk about who the players are, we're talking about richly configured systems. So the storage market grew 12.5% year over year. I'm talking about external storage. I'm going to leave the server stuff out. So these are your flash arrays, et cetera. That market grew 12.5% year over year. But if you look at the very high end of the market, where the all-flash arrays, which are still selling at a fairly aggressive premium, a fairly pretty premium, that's up 37.6% year over year, right? So that's 3x the market growth is in the very high end.
And I
think that goes to what you're saying, right? These are more richly configured systems. They're being targeted more toward software-defined data center. We talked about this last week when we talked a little bit about HPE earnings, mm-hmm. where their server numbers, not a lot to brag about there, but what was there to brag about was they said they grew 80% in the hyper-converged infrastructure, right? And that sort of infrastructure says I'm utilizing my resources more smartly, but I'm also selling different kinds of boxes to service that market, right? I'm gonna put an expensive all-flash array, maybe one big one instead of a lot of little ones, with more richly configured servers, right? So there's a shift that's happening, and I think we're seeing it in the revenue numbers more than the unit.
So were there any looking at storage, right? Were there any like, oh my goshes, as you kind of look through the numbers and?
Yes. So the market's up 12.5%. I don't know that I'm surprised. The Dell outgrew that by 2X. They grew at 23% year over year. But, they introduced, they had some product refreshes last year that were long needed.
Yeah.
And from a revenue perspective, they're selling a lot of high margin, high dollar stuff on the all flash sense. So that's the number one spot in the listing. And then we drop down to the number five. And this mirrors server a little bit, where Huawei is up 17% of external storage. And they have some nice products. So that was the big surprise to me, is the rise of Huawei in the worldwide rankings when they're not attacking the U.S. market in a way that Dell and these others are.
Yeah.
You know, the other surprise is NetApp had pretty good growth year over year. If you listen to their earnings call, right, the bulk of that was all flash arrays and refreshes. I think it's still to be seen how well they do with their HCI solution and their continued kind of hard drive based arrays.
Hey, walk us through Hitachi. You know, so they're tied for fifth with Huawei as I look at these charts, and I think most people listening to us, all three of them, when you talk about storage and what's cool and what's hot, Hitachi probably isn't a company or a vendor name that would come to.
So Hitachi is servicing big legacy customers, which is why we don't see a lot of growth quarter over quarter from them in the IDC tracker. That said, they're not sitting still on the technology. They have NVMe solutions. They're doing hybrid flash. They're doing object storage, all of the things that you want to do. And in some sense, you know, IBM struggles with this as well, in that they're viewed as a big legacy player while they're very much out there innovating.
Yeah.
That said, right, Hitachi's core business is not the same as Dell EMC's. So, you know, maybe the storage team is hurt a little bit by their more strategic direction.
Yeah.
But $500 million a quarter is nothing to sneeze at, right? It's a solid business. And certainly, right, it's a solid business. And certainly if you want to look at high-end storage, Hitachi Vantara is what they call themselves now, not Hitachi Data Systems. You know, they're worth looking at. That said, you know, they're not an exciting young upstart like a Pure Storage, and they don't have the breadth of portfolio like a Dell EMC, who's also out there doing solution sales that are bundling, you know, everything in their portfolio.
Yeah, it's funny you say that about the kind of the, you know, while they service legacy, they're still doing a lot of innovative or driving a lot of innovation, but they get almost hurt by that reputation of legacy. And if I drew an analogy to server, and you mentioned IBM and storage, it's the same issue in server, right? When you look at power systems and you look at kind of what IBM is doing in the server space, there's a lot of interesting innovation, a lot of innovation that they bring to the table. They don't stop, they don't sit still, but they're still thought of as the old mainframe guys. And it sounds like that's kind of similar in the storage space as well.
Yeah, well, and there's something that happens in storage. It's a little different from server, and that so IDC is very good at counting hardware and hardware-based revenue. Where it gets fuzzy, and you have to dig into a lot of proprietary research to understand the actual numbers, so I can't quote them here, is, you know, a large percentage of how we do storage in the data center really has nothing to do with the arrays. It has more to do with software. Yeah. And moving into a multi-cloud world, that's increasingly true. If you look at IBM, you know, they did a blog post about a year ago that said, if you couple our hardware sales with what IDC says we're selling with storage software, we're really the number one storage vendor in the world. And I think a little bit of that also happens with Hitachi, right? Hitachi has a nice software portfolio with, you know, cloud software and object storage and all of these things that really don't touch a hardware array. So the top five rankings are really not fair to the guys that skew maybe more toward the total solution or software side of the sales. You know, IDC knows who these guys are, but
yeah,
they make their money selling this research. So they're going to be, I don't want to use stingy, but they're going to be careful with, you know, what they release publicly for, you know, us to leech off of versus, you know, sure, what they sell to the need.
So speaking of that, though, and speaking of kind of, you know, the software being the differentiator and, you know, kind of, you know, there's a lot of innovation that maybe doesn't get accounted for when looking at these numbers, you know, how do you, absent from this list, and I know kind of you're a fan of them, is Pure. You know, you think they're going to be cracking the top five here anytime soon? Or
I do think Pure is going to crack the top five. They think they are too. In their last earnings call, which we talked about last week a little bit, they put a chart up that showed every year they're climbing up 1 point, right? And IDC's paid research, I think they go far deeper than the top five. And that's what Pure's looking at and reporting on. Their prediction is 2020, they'll be number five or number four. If you look at their revenue numbers and their earnings for last quarter, they're coming in about $12 million under where Huawei and Hitachi are right now, and they're public number five. Okay. So I think if they continue this momentum, then yeah, they'll crack the top five. Where it's going to get fuzzy with Pure, and much like I was just talking about with IBM and Hitachi, is, you know, Pure is also starting to blend their revenue model a little bit in their offerings with more software solutions. Mm-hmm. So they've got the Pure Cloud stuff. They're doing, and this is going to be interesting in how we count servers as well, right? Is the capacity on demand that's being deployed into the data center, right? So I'm selling CPU cycles or storage bytes, but it's a service revenue, right? Yeah. So, you know, I don't think it's impacting those storage numbers right now, but it's easy to see a time 18 months from now where, you know, the server market is going down, but server CPU cycles are going up because of this. And those revenue numbers, since the capacity on demand is being serviced by the same folks that are building these boxes, right, we'll never see hardware revenue taken from them.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that because, you know, Lenovo launched their TruScale a couple of weeks back, a few weeks back. HPE has GreenLake. Dell has an offering. Cisco has an offering. And it feels like that capacity on demand is just starting to find some footing. I mean, HPE would argue that they've had footing. In fairness to them, they have. But, you know, it's really everyone is starting to see some of this momentum. And you're right. You know, when I'm charging, when I have no minimum on kind of what you can install in your server room or data center, and I'm charging you based on the power you draw, versus, you know, anything else, or, and I'm not selling you servers anymore. You're right. It's going to skew those numbers considerably. It doesn't mean that capacity is going down. It doesn't mean that, you know, servers aren't being utilized, but, and not that they're not being placed in the data center, but they're not being charged as unit shipments or maybe not. Right.
Well, to some degree, right. It's going to look like, you know, it's going to look like the hyperscale market, except that there's no revenue for servers because Dell's selling to themselves. That's not to say we can't back out the numbers another way, right? Because somebody's buying CPUs. You know, we can count bytes consumed. I don't know if there's a different kind of metric that we can look at for server, but it's going to change the way, you know, maybe how we think about who's leading in different segments. Mm-hmm. And the OEMs are going to guide us a little bit, right? Because they're very good in their quarterly earnings call about spinning the story in terms of where revenue is coming from and what that signals.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's going to hurt IDC and their ability to count far more than it's going to hurt guys like us who are kind of looking at what these OEMs are doing and what's winning and what's losing and what we should pay attention
to. Yeah. Hey, let me ask you, just going kind of all ADHD on you. Let me ask you a question on storage. One thing I find interesting on the storage numbers versus server is that while server unit shipments were down, revenue was up, right? So revenue outpaced shipments. It's kind of the inverse on storage, right? It looks like the revenue is down. Well, it's at 7.5%, right? But your shipments are...
I don't know that I can answer this because IDC doesn't publicly talk about unit numbers on storage. They do break out all flash versus overall market. So you can see that all flash clearly has momentum behind it. But I would argue that, you know, based where the revenue numbers are and you look at the growth numbers, all flash has a lot of growth, but it's not impacting the overall market revenue yet, right?
Yeah.
So these, you know, we're selling a lot, but not enough to move the needle.
Yeah, I screwed up on that, dude. I was looking at this like I was looking at the server chart. I didn't even pay attention to both of those being revenue numbers.
Yeah. So what they do there? So what they do, the first chart on the storage, they actually count server storage.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's why you see the server guys who don't have a storage play like Lenovo.
Yeah.
The second chart is external, which is kind of where I focus. But yeah, it's not to say we won't see a shift to more server centric with software defined. So I don't know if IDC should. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know, Matt, that I have anything left more to say about IDC numbers. Do you?
No, we spent a good amount of time. I find them fascinating to look at every quarter. And I, you know, we were talking about it earlier. I think there are a lot of takeaways. Certainly, a lot of takeaways for IT consumers. But you know, to me, there are indicators of kind of where things are going. So. I think we should make it a practice for every quarter to kind of have a dedicated session on these.
I think so. So we'll talk about this again in 3 months. Mm-hmm. There was some other news this week, and I just want to ping off of it. I know that we might not have had time yet to digest it fully. Intel announced yesterday a new consortium for the Compute Express Link CXL. Mm-hmm. Which looks like kind of a Gen Z competitor to link CPUs to accelerators in a cache coherent fashion. Does it mean anything? Do we know yet?
Well, sure it does. I think it's the challenge I have in understanding what the real impact of this is it's you just hit on it is what does this do to Gen Z? Is it a true competitor? It certainly looks that way, right? Are designers or systems designers going to have to choose one interface over the other?
Or does Intel force the option with, what is it called? CXL?
CXL, yeah.
Because Intel's not a broad proponent of Gen Z. And it was interesting that when they announced the CXL consortium yesterday that, they had Cisco, Dell EMC, HPE, Huawei, and Microsoft, and Alibaba all up on stage, which says, Intel has the power to sway the market in terms of how CPUs interconnect with anything, right? Especially in the data center.
Yeah.
So does this mean the death of Gen Z? I don't know. This is something maybe we need to watch and do a little more research on. This news is, as we record this, only a day old.
Yeah, and they talked about this being designed on PCIe Gen 5, right? So which is interesting to me because it means that they're going out of their way to say, hey, look, this is being designed on standards that are already in place. So it's not a, it's not a proprietary, but not proprietary, right? It's kind of making sure that the market doesn't go, wait a minute, like Gen Z, this is some proprietary interface that only some can take advantage of. So,
Well, Intel has a huge interest here in that, I think they've all but said publicly that there's a discrete GPU coming. Mm-hmm. I know they've talked publicly about supporting FPGAs and other accelerators in the data center as kind of inference market heats up. So they're moving into the non-CPU accelerator, whether that's GPU or other. Market fairly aggressively, aggressive as a semiconductor company can. So they're going to need to control this sort of interface, right, as we look out to 2020 and beyond.
Yeah, and by the way, pretty smart to do that. I think they recognize, and I'm sure I know ARM does, because if you look at some of the specs around the Aries platform, N1 and E1 platform, I know AMD does. And they're all seem to have this realization that while the CPU is critical, that these workloads that are emerging require more than just integer performance out of the CPU, right? I think Intel is, so I think it's a smart move. Go ahead, sorry.
It absolutely is. And, and this will force AMD into being a faster, slow follower, we'll see. But this will be another inhibitor, right, for AMD server parts in certain segments of the market, potentially,
yeah. They're smart guys over there. I'm sure they'll.
Well, we'll see how open it is, and I don't think AMD's talked about doing their own accelerators, and NVIDIA is also not on this list of people involved in CXL.
Right.
So we'll see where all that shakes out. I think watching this whole, we've been talking about, we used to in the old days, right, called it heterogeneous processing. Mm-hmm. I think watching how this whole accelerator thing shakes out is going to be really fascinating.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned NVIDIA not being part of this consortium. Yeah, it's interesting. It's also interesting that they went ahead and swooped up Mellanox, where it felt like Intel was going to be kind of the, or at least I thought Intel was going to be the suitor for Mellanox and grab them.
So they were a suitor, and what I read on before it was announced by NVIDIA, the reporting out of that was that NVIDIA had come in with a bid that was about 10% higher than Intel. Hmm. So, you know, I don't know what happened there from the Intel perspective. Clearly, Intel wanted them. Yeah. If you look at Mellanox, if you're not familiar with Mellanox, they do a lot of InfiniBand stuff, but they also do a lot of high-speed other interconnects, right? Mm-hmm. And if you look at what NVIDIA is doing, right, as they move their GPU cards into kind of more server-centric plays, if you will, right, with their DGX series of AI supercomputers, they have a thing called NVLink, which is kind of a high-speed interconnect for GPUs, right? I can very easily see them leveraging the Mellanox IP, whether it's InfiniBand or leveraging it into NVLink, yeah, to kind of bolster that play so that I can now network together. And I know, you know, our boss, Patrick Moorhead, talked to Jensen yesterday, and kind of his feedback out of this was, the network is the computer, to go back 30 years in some microsystems. Mm-hmm. But that's especially true when you have distributed sets of GPUs doing a lot of machine learning. Let the engineers and traditional NVIDIA focus on the GPUs, and let these, you know, really good engineers at Mellanox focus on the interconnect, yeah, and you might have something special.
Yeah, I think it's a natural fit. And a natural marriage or kind of a, you know, a nice marriage between the two. Just it's interesting to see Intel get kind of beaten at their own game, right?
Yeah, and that this also was announced on the same day that they announced CXL.
Exactly.
So there's a lot going on. So let's talk more about this on the next podcast, yeah, because next week I'm flying off to the GPU Technology Conference, where I hope to learn a little bit more about what they're doing here.
Maybe we can do our next podcast as you're sitting in your hotel room in your boxers eating toast and drinking coffee.
It's going to be a busy week. I'm going to spend 2 days in Santa Clara at the GTC, the GPU Technology Conference, where I had pre-briefing from NVIDIA, which maybe it's not pre-briefing by the time you hear this, but I think they're really focusing in on how do I move GPU and AI and ML tech into the data center. They believe in DGX from a number of perspectives, they want to understand better how to move into that market, because you don't typically think of NVIDIA as a IT, a core staple in your data center. So I'm excited to hear what they have to say about their strategy and how they're going to approach that next week at GTC.
Yeah, I agree. We don't, but I think, there's a segment of the market that does think of NVIDIA as a core part of their IT, infrastructure, right? But I think...
Yeah, but it's more in the scientific computing, yeah, realm. And I think is AI is going to come into the data center from two flavors. One is learning, which, you know, NVIDIA is the one to be, mm-hmm, and inference, which, you know, with this Intel news we just talked about, that's wide open, and everybody wants a piece of that, yeah, from ARM up, right? ARM even has inference engines.
And by the way, I agree with you that it's primarily been, the supercomputing, high performance computing, scientific community that's been, but I think, and this is where you're going, is NVIDIA is increasingly becoming a part of the norm within the data center, right?
Oh, sure they are. Sure they are. So I agree with all of that.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate your validation.
I'm here to validate. What else do you want to talk about?
I think we've been talking for a while, so I don't want to take up too much more time, but I think maybe on the next call, or not next podcast as well, I'd like to talk about, do a little bit more of a drill down on Huawei and kind of what's going on beyond, outside the, you know, the borders of the U.S. or outside North America with regards to them. They had some interesting news last week where they opened up their cybersecurity, quote unquote, transparency center. I was lucky to be able to go be a part of that. I'd like to talk more about that and what that means, because it's, I mean, they're really kind of, they're bending over backwards to gain the trust of the EU, the regulators in the EU that manage cybersecurity and set standards around cybersecurity. And really, it's kind of a signal to the rest of the world as well, outside of, again, outside of US, Canada, and Mexico, it seems.
Yeah, so I would love to talk about that. I have a lot to say on that topic as well. And then you're also going off to tour their data center. And where is it?
Shenzhen, yeah. Their factory, and do some sit-downs with some of their executives as well, around kind of how they're approaching go-to-market from a server perspective. So it should be
awesome
to talk about that as well.
So let's talk about that next time, and then maybe a little bit of wrap-up from GTC, if there's anything to say there.
That sounds great.
But otherwise, I think we're done
here, Stevie Ray.